calls. So you can keep it all.
For him or his wife?
His wife. So he might be.
Okay. Not yet, but they're down there, I guess, 21st or something. Okay. The regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council of October 18th is now in session. It is 4:35, and I'd like to dedicate this meeting to Kathy Eldewayne, who just passed away recently. She is the wife of a past mayor, and they had a service for her today, so I just wanted to mention that. Roll call, please.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinault.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
And for the record, Councilmember Natoli is absent tonight.
Okay, thank you. The invocation by Dr. Paul Jones, and then would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Would you please stand with me? Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, gratitude rises in our hearts because of the elections that were conducted in Iraq this past weekend. Though ruled by a ruthless dictator for more than 30 years, millions of Iraqi citizens cast their vote on a national constitution. This was done in spite of merciless killings and grave threats by the insurgents. We are most grateful for the democratic freedoms that are evident in the Middle East today. We thank you for the voluntary sacrifices that have been given by the coalition forces in recent years to make possible freedom that burns alive in human hearts around the world. Thomas Paine, an early American patriot, helped greatly to fan the flames of the American Revolution that would never make us invincible. It's God that promises security. It's God that gives stability to those who trust in Him. So again today, we proudly declare our national motto, "In God We Trust." May we always seek to live justly and righteously and be zealous for the things that honor you. Thank you for each member of our city council and their support staff. Infuse in them tonight your wisdom and your understanding. Give your solution to every difficulty that they face. We invoke your irresistible presence and will to become the resource that you grant to each of the leaders of our city. May proper decisions be made tonight that will honor you and benefit the citizens and guests of our beautiful city. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord, amen.
Amen.
Will you please face the American flag and put your right hand over your heart and follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. The next item on our agenda is presentations, and we do not have any. The next item is public comment period. This is the time for the public to make comment on items that are not on the agenda. You will be allowed 3 minutes, and again, that's on items not on the agenda. And I do have speaker cards, and if you would like to speak, I would appreciate it if you would fill out speaker cards. The first one I have is Justin Lulagian.
Mayor Reese, council members, I had the honor and privilege to be chosen as a youth delegate to the League of California Cities Conference to represent Pismo Beach. I have lived in Pismo Beach all of my life, but I always found state city government to be fairly bewildering. My attendance at the conference, along with the contributions of time and attention from Mayor Reese and the council members, has shed light on how my city government works. I learned about Proposition 1A, which limits the state's ability to take funds from the local government, And I also learned about Proposition 76, which, most importantly, speeds up the process in which state debts are repaid to cities. I also noticed that there was quite a lot of cooperation and not much politicking in our city governments. This means that I saw people making real solutions to real problems, such as environmentally friendly vehicles, recycled water, and homeland security, among other topics. And most of all, I learned that we have a city government that we can be proud of, one that solves real problems facing our city. I want to thank Mayor Reese, Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G, City Manager Kevin Rice, Councilmember Higginbotham, Councilmember Ravenault, and Councilmember Natoli, who's not here. Thank you for choosing me as a youth delegate.
You're very welcome. We were very, very proud of you, Justin.
Very proud of you.
The next person I have is Bill Couch.
Bill Couch, Pismo Oaks, 614 Vista Pacifica Circle. I have an item that I think needs attention. It's been going along for quite some time, is the violation of speed limits on James Way from Oak Park to 4th Street. This is ridiculous. It's 35. It's through a good residential section. Residential speed limits have always been 25. Then you get to the Japanese cafe, the sushi palace there, and suddenly, all of a sudden, it turns to 45 miles per hour. Then you get past Highland Drive, and you go under the freeway, 15. As soon as you get over by the Prime Outlets, it's 30 miles per hour, back to 4th Street. That's four different speed limits in the space of, at the best, 2.5 miles. It's very, very confusing, and it gets people very concerned. And I think it would be much better to have a speed limit that we can live with. It's been a speed limit throughout forever in residential sections, 25 miles an hour. And when you get down to the cafe, it turns to commercial section is growing by leaps and bounds. That should remain 25. But when you get to...
We'd love to have you there. Dinner, band, tip a teacher. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's a good cause. We're in need of basic items like paper, ink for copy machines. We had to cut our field trips this year. We've had to boost our monies towards tutors. Just the stuff that we take for granted that would be there is not there, not the extras. And so... we'd like to invite the community, too. It's a community effort to give back to the school and to the kids here. So the tickets are $55 apiece. We'd love to have each and every one of you there. So thank you.
Thank you.
And members of the community as well. We have people in the back with tickets if anybody after the meeting would like to purchase.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think you have a few of the children from Shell Beach here. The next speaker I have is Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor and Honorable Council, I'm Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court. How pleasant it is to drive down Shell Beach Road today after last week's resurfacing work. Just beat the rain, too. When it is finished, all of our tires and shock absorbers will thank you very much. I recently wrote you a note titled, A Plea for James Way, on the subject of needed road work there. I want you to know that Greg Ray wrote me a nice letter in response which lowered my blood pressure about 20 points. Let me read just one paragraph from that letter. Greg says, I'm happy to report that James Way will receive some major maintenance along with the upcoming slurry seal project. Although funds are insufficient to completely upgrade this important arterial, I do anticipate being able to provide localized repair of the areas that are most damaged. Following localized repairs, the entire street will be sealed and restriped. The goals are to improve ride quality and to buy some additional pavement life until funds are available to complete a major maintenance project. Thank you, Greg, and all your troops, and thank you, Council, for being so timely and considerate. New subject. Morning accidents continue on Highway 101 as the commuter stream heads for work in San Luis Obispo. In my view, the major cause is excessive speed and following too closely. There is one needed road fix, however, which I believe would help. If the Bello Street on-ramp were extended to a greater length as an auxiliary lane, traffic blending distance would create a safer mixing. Speaking of Caltrans, is it true that they have reneged on promised stop signs on Dolliver at Ocean View Street? If this is true, I suggest a warm letter from you to Assemblyman Blakeslee, Senator Maldonado, and the governor outlining the situation and asking for Sacramento pressure on the local Caltrans operatives. A promise made should be a promise kept, especially where public safety is at risk. Local media have failed to accurately report your action on the Price Street extension matter. I have tried to offer a complete picture to them with no success. They are parroting a line put out by staff politicians at SLOCOG and Caltrans, which is designed to make Pismo Beach look bad. The citizens of our town can counter these staff propagandists by calling Supervisor Lenthal and Supervisor Achajian at 781-5450. Tell them our council did exactly the right thing by listening to all points of view and considering the negatives and positives of the project. It was not an emotional decision, but one based on the preponderance of real evidence. As key votes on SLOCOG, these supervisors are able to see that Pismo Beach is treated fairly. Accurate newspaper reporting and well-considered editorials would help, too, but it doesn't look as though we're going to see any of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. I'd like to say again how much we appreciate your efforts to keep the public informed by televising the Council meetings and now the Planning Commission meetings. Two things have happened that have become more aware. Everybody owns a TV, but not everybody owns a computer or uses it, especially some of our older members who really don't want to get into that technology. Many people who will watch TV could have the access to the agenda through the TV rather than just through the computer where you have the agenda and the packet available.
Just be shot in the arm of life that it really needed, and to be able to offer that free admission to people. And with the advertising that we put behind the festival this year, it really showed in the numbers of people that came out to the festival. We were sold out on our vendors this year. We had just about 60 vendors down there and had a great parade. The vendors were very happy. Many of them are wanting to return in the future. And I also wanted to thank the Firefighters Association for the pancake breakfast that they put on Saturday morning, and the Police Officers Association and their assistance with the taste on Saturday night. And as you know, a portion of those proceeds will be going to their association for the Thanksgiving dinner. And just in general, everyone that came and enjoyed the festival and participated in the activities that we had going on, it took a community to put on this event, and it was a successful event for the community, and I want to thank everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to any items not on the agenda? Seeing none, I will go on to City Council comments and requests. Anyone that has anything?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Okay. I would just kind of like to chime in a little bit on the fundraiser for Shell Beach Elementary School. You know, for several weeks now, I've been talking about the budget cuts and the severity of those cuts, and particularly to some very much needed components, such as ink for printers and paper and those types of things. I don't want to get into a position of criticizing any other local agencies, like Lucy Amar School District, as an example. But I know that we're better than that, and I know that this community is better than that. The Oktoberfest that is being provided and the availability of the restaurant is something that doesn't come around very often. And if the residents want to really have a good time, I mean, tip a teacher. I mean, think about it. We have got some of the most wonderful teachers that I could ever imagine to know at Shelbyville Elementary School. There'll be wonderful waiters and waitresses down there. And the ability to have some food and some drink and some fun. No children are going to be permitted. But it's going to be a wonderful evening on November 5th, and it's going to be from 6 to 9 in the evening. And please, anybody that's interested, I'm certain that you can call Shelbyville Elementary School or, heck, call me at home, 773-4473, and I'd be happy to relay that information. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that has anything to comment? You do?
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
I do. I have a lot. I had the privilege of attending the League of Cities in San Francisco earlier this month, and congratulations to Councilmember Natoli, who graduated. He's put in a lot of time, and it was a nice ceremony that we attended for him. It was a great opportunity for me to get a lot of information about how different cities do things and meet other council members. But one really important thing, meeting I attended, was about telecommunications. And I thought this was important because we just have authorized, televising the planning commissions. We're going to be getting new equipment. And there's a Senate bill that I think is really important for us to become aware of and support, and that's Senate Bill 1294, because there seems to be a move throughout this country to take away franchise fees from cities and give them to the states, and that happened in Texas. So there's a lot of moving and shaking going on there on the city level. There's also a movement that telephone companies, as they become more diverse in the services, they would like to not have to pay any kinds of fees because they already have a right of way. So I think we need to pay close attention if we want to still garner the benefits from franchise fees. So I would caution all of us to pay attention to that. The city had two big events this month so far. The BIG put on an event at the Vets Hall, and it was a fundraiser for the AED automatic defibrillator, so I say that right? Mm-hmm. It was a great success. They worked very hard. The turnout was terrific, and it was a lot of fun. I really want to applaud them. We had a blast at the Clam Festival. And again, this is another city event where people benefited. Police Association benefited from the Taste of Pismo for their Thanksgiving dinner, enjoyed the pancake breakfast, and benefits went to the Rick Vreeland Toy Fund. I really want to applaud the Chamber. It was just a great event. My whole family enjoyed it, and the parade was darling, too. Please don't forget to vote November 8th. There's some important propositions, and Marilee Hyman, she's very involved with the League of Women Voters. All the propositions, the pros and cons, and I know there'll be some available in the back of the Chamber if you'd like to look at that, or, again, go to their website. Wanted to remind you we have Pumpkins on the Pier at the end of the month on the 29th. I believe the event starts at 10 a.m. on the pier. And we have an update on Dinosaur Caves. They are pouring the cement around the stage. And there was one more thing I forgot, so I apologize. But there's things happening. Please stop down there and look at how this wonderful park is evolving. And then, sorry, I'm really long-winded tonight. I have one request. After viewing the Planning Commission meeting the other night, one of the commissioners mentioned an evacuation plan for the Heights. And I don't know if there is one or if we need one, but I was going to request staff, could we look at that? If we have one on the books, I'd like to become more familiar with that. And that's all I have. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. Mayor Pro Tem, do you have anything?
I have a couple of things. Firstly, all of the council was given this article from a newspaper. It's called "The Cliff Erosion Creates Most of the Sand on the Beaches." And that was given to us by Mr. Art Anthony. And I just wanted to thank him because Mr. Art Anthony gives us clippings from newspapers very frequently. He gives us letters and phone calls. And when he does this, he calls everyone. And he provides all of us with this information, and it's always so helpful. And there's a lot of work put into this, reading, clipping, making copies, and I just wanted to thank him publicly. And then, thank you, Mr. Anthony. And then, secondly, well, I was going to talk about the league, but two speakers spoke about it. We went to the league in San Francisco, and long hours put in by council. Councilmember Rabinall and myself put on a small presentation at the league. And we do work hard, and I want to let everyone know that it's not really a pleasure junket. It's really work.
Is the Tribune in the audience? Okay. Is mine?
Is yours? Oh, yeah. It is. Push the button. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. And then also, again, I receive phone calls on Tree Heights. I don't know if it's because I talk about it that I get so many calls about it, but it's important to the people that call me. And so I wanted to share with you what happened in my neighborhood this last week. A gentleman by the name of Ed Hananian, I believe he's a real estate agent, he went to all the neighbors in my neighborhood that had large trees, and he asked them if they would allow him to trim those trees at using a tree trimming company, a professional company. And we were absolutely amazed. Almost all of the people in that neighborhood agreed. They just and the cost would be minimal to them. So then he went to the people that it was blocking their views and asked if they'd like to put into a tree trimming pot or kitty. And they agreed because they were the ones that were calling me and calling, calling their neighbors and asking them if they would consider doing that. So, the city of Pismo Beach doesn't have a tree ordinance for overgrown trees, and I still would like to look at that. But in the meantime, these people that continue to call, if they would do this in their neighborhood, contact the people that the trees are blocking your views and maybe set up something like this. And I'd be glad to meet with them. And my number is 773-0550 because this really worked. So thank you.
And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
So did that take care of the complaints in your neighborhood?
Oh, my.
Because I got some calls from you. That's great.
They are really going out and trimming trees. I mean, they've already done some of it, and they're going to do more.
It's great.
So, yeah, I think it's making the neighbors very happy.
Well, I really don't have anything this evening. I just, too, wanted to compliment the chamber. I heard wonderful things about the Clam Festival. The little time that I spent down there was crowds and crowds of people. So being that it was free, I heard that was a big success that it was. So thank you very much for putting on a successful program.
Marianne, may I just add just one more thing about Justin?
Oh, you certainly can.
This young man, he rode up with the city of Arroyo Grande. They were the chaperones. That was the chaperone city. And we got to spend an evening at dinner with Justin. The caliber of the students that are coming out of our public school systems here is absolutely overwhelming. I mean, this young man, I'm telling you, someday he's going to be a city councilman or he's going to be a higher. He's very well versed, but you know what? These children are like sponges. And any of you that have children that are watching or that are certainly here in the audience, please bring them to a city council meeting. I mean, this...
A hearing. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, what I'd like to suggest is that since we've posted this public hearing for 5:30 and it's not yet 5:30, maybe we could go ahead and move on and defer that for now, come back to it at 5:30.
Certainly,
and
okay.
In the meantime, introduce business item 6A.
Okay, we will do that. Item 6A, Mr. City Manager.
Item 6A, Madam Mayor and Council, is a recommended letter to the SLOCOG Board regarding the city's position on reimbursement of project costs for the Price Street Extension Project. I attended the recent SLOCOG Board meeting, which took place about 1 week ago, and they've deferred action on their agenda item on whether or not the city should reimburse all or part of the costs for the Price Street extension, and they've deferred that decision until Wednesday, 2 November. And this letter would more formally state to the SLOCOG board, which consists, SLOCOG being the San Luis Obispo County of Governments.
Council.
Council of Governments. I'm sorry, Council of Governments. It would state to them formally our position on that $735,000 and what should be done with it. The proposed letter, which is in your packet, recommends that the city of Pismo Beach not be told to reimburse any of that $735,000 that has been set aside for the Price Street extension. I'd like to also invite Mr. Fleischman, who wrote the letter, to see if he's got anything he'd like to add to it.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. I also attended the meeting, and it became evident to me from listening to some of the board member comments that they didn't necessarily want to punish Pismo Beach, but there was a sense of accountability that Pismo Beach should be accountable for the money that was spent on this project. And what also struck me is that there wasn't a lot of emphasis on the amount of money that the city of Pismo Beach contributed to the 4th Street project above its obligations to make sure that the project got done. So, as Mr. Rice said, there was no action taken at that meeting, and it was deferred. And after the meeting, I talked with Mr. Rice about perhaps putting together at least a letter to allow the council some measure to discuss this issue before the next SLOCOG meeting. The position taken in the letter is just a position. You're obviously free to edit it in any way that you see fit or to not send it at all. But in looking at the number of people who were speaking towards imposing some kind of costs on the city, it occurred to me that if the city's voice is not heard in some way, shape, or form before that meeting, the city may be in a reactive mode rather than a proactive mode. So with that, I suggested this letter and welcome any comments or changes that you would have.
And if I could further add, at the meeting, the mayor, of course, who sits on the SLOCOG board, Mayor Reese, I think, ably represented the city. She was firm in her recommendation that the city not reimburse any of that $735,000. It was also as evident to me, sitting out in the audience, that probably within the board itself, at that time anyway, it was about a 50-50 kind of call in the discussion that came afterwards. In other words, probably about roughly 50% of the board members favored some form of accountability. In other words, that the city would pay something to the SLOCOG board. And maybe about 50% also favored, in fact, there was actually a motion made that the city not pay anything to the SLOCOG board. I also stood up and told the SLOCOG board, made it called to their attention that one of their options, option three in their agenda packet, is exactly our position here, which is that the city of Pismo Beach shouldn't pay anything else to the SLOCOG board, because in fact several years ago we came forward when SLOCOG couldn't quite meet all of its commitments, and we paid $400,000 then for some off ramps down by the outlet stores. And so anyway, with that, I'd like to go ahead and open it up and see if there's any questions or discussion.
Are there any questions from the council or any comments?
Well, I have some comments, but I wanted to hear from the public first.
I'd like to make some comments prior to, because maybe it might influence the public a little bit in their thinking. I'm very upset with the SLOCOG board. Now, this meeting that you're in reference to, was that prior to us going to San Francisco?
Yes.
I had a long talk with Frank Meacham. We didn't just on a whim say that, gee, we decide we don't want this project anymore. No. We spent years, we spent months going over this. The council is very aware of all of the component parts of that project, and they were not acceptable to us. Now, they're going to penalize us because of an unacceptable product? Who's in control here? How dare them? The second issue I have is with this letter. I don't want to send this letter. What need be done, I believe, is that the mayor, as a board member, or Kevin Rice, as a city manager, needs to call and talk with Ron DeCarli and tell him these facts. Because by us sending this letter to them, the 50% that you're talking about that aren't happy, the hairs are going to go right up on the back of their neck and they're going to dig in their heels. If we have a conversation with Ron and say, Ron, now what about this? I know how Ron works. I know how Ron works that board. Then there is a very distinct opportunity that nothing will come of it. If something does come of it, I personally want to fight them because they're wrong. But why do it if we don't have to? You get a lot more with honey than you do with vinegar. And I believe it's extremely important that we do not send this letter, that we have those personal conversations with Ron DeCarli and let him know under no uncertain circumstances that this is not the same project that was brought forward 10 years ago. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor, I think I'll comment now because I really felt that the letter was excellently composed. I thought it meets all the present desires, and I can understand not sending it or hand-delivering it. I would like for the board to see it prior to their meeting. That's what I would like, so they could read it over. And know, like when we get something at this meeting, then we have to make a quick decision when we're presented with facts at the last minute. I would like to, for them to know these facts before that board meeting. And then also, I think that if I had wishes, that it would be that I wish this letter would have been at the last meeting before some of the Slocog board members started making decisions. And as Councilmember Rabinault mentioned, in San Francisco, we had the opportunity to, I spoke with more than one board member, and their comment, when I told them our side of it, their comment was, well, would you please come to Slocog and talk to us? We were not aware of that. And what they were not aware of is when I told them that many of this council has met on various occasions with Caltrans and Slocog, and we have asked them to mitigate this project so that it would be acceptable. This project 10 years ago might have been perfect for this community. However, you know it's not now with the growth. And then putting, we need a six-lane freeway. I mean, I think that we all know that that's the basis of this. And they want to put the traffic on our streets with no benefit to the community. So we've each met with them. Councilmember Natoli, I understand, met with them and presented a nice project to them. And they told him at one point, yes, we'll look at it. Nothing ever happened. I met with them. I presented something that would be beneficial to the city. So it's kind of a balance, and they didn't want to balance anything. And now they're bad-mouthing us in the newspaper. And our constituents are believing what they read. But I think when stuff is printed, it needs to have the true story of both sides. And so I just think that we continually hear this negative press of what's being reported out, and it's not truths. This community wanted the Price Street extension, but we wanted it with benefits to this community. And we didn't get that. And that's all I have at this time.
Okay, I need to say something at this point. This information that's in this letter was in the Slocog staff report.
Absolutely right.
It was in there. So what we are doing by sending this letter is just reemphasizing it. So it's not that they're not aware of this. They were aware of it at that time. So
what the Slocog board members, two of them, told me they were not aware of it. So I don't know if they didn't read their information or...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a problem with the letter. I think I concur with the city attorney that we need to be proactive instead of reactive. I guess my problem is accountability. and I discussed this a few weeks ago with Mayor Reese, is...
And, either you, Madam Mayor, or Kevin Rice, a conversation with Ron DeCarli, believe me, this information will get there. Not including our local reporter, I would really like to say that the Tribune is probably one of the worst newspapers that I've ever seen. It is very biased in their reporting. They do not get all sides of the story. They don't even inquire and ask both sides of the story. They just print what they have received, and if they like it, it moves forward. It's a terrible, terrible newspaper. Thank you.
I guess I don't agree totally that this would anger the board. I think it's just facts. It's just repeating facts. But
so they already have this letter. So what would be the sense in sending it again then?
They don't have the letter. I mean, they have the facts. It's just reiterating it. But if I mean, it's up to the total council whether we send this. And if it's not the wishes of the council, that's okay. But that's the point. That's why it's on the agenda. If there's no other comments from the council,
no.
Though, I will go to the public. And I do think I have a couple of people that wanted to comment on it, and one is Art Anthony.
Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. I should have worn my flak jacket for this one. Huh? I agree with almost everything the four of you have had to say and what Mr. Rice had to say as well. And the city attorney. So it's unusual that I agree with most of all of you. There's a couple of things that I noticed. I watched the SLOCOG meeting on television, the rerun of it, and I watched you all in action and that part of the meeting. One thing that impressed me is they were in a hurry. They were rushed for time.
Yes.
They were going to San Francisco just as you were. And some of them, like Meacham, left early because he had to catch a plane or something. Making decisions like this when you're hurried is not ever a good idea. They had to do it. It's on the agenda. They had to carry through with that. I sensed from listening to my old buddy Harry Ovid, who I've known for a long, long time, that the North County people want a big chunk of that money that we're not using for that Highway 46-101 interchange, which isn't finished. They haven't collected all the bucks for that yet.
Right.
I also know that Mayor Ferrara from Rio Grande and Cacho want that money for the Briscoe undercrossing, or as much of it as they can get. So there's a couple of things working in there besides just bashing Pismo Beach. If I was doing it, I would try to be cooperative with, of course, our supervisor should be supporting us 100%, Jerry Lenthal. I'd be talking to Cacho and to Mayor Ferrara and saying, can't we get something together so we can support the Briscoe undercrossing? Because a lot of Pismo people use that. Well, sure, we use the 46 interchange sometimes too. But from the point of view of the South County, where those dollars were originally allocated, that Briscoe undercrossing thing can save a lot of trouble and perhaps lives. As they add to that shopping center, which they are about to do, it appears, up there by Trader Joe's, they're thinking about putting in a Petco and a Wells Fargo Bank and a couple other things, I think, up in there. It's going to get worse. And some of our people will get caught in it. That's not right. So if it's possible to form a coalition, I think that's one way to do it. And mm-hmm. I see Marianne nodding. I think she's trying that right now. I agree with Bill about certain aspects of this. What little testosterone I have left agrees with him completely about being belligerent. You know? But I know that doesn't work sometimes. And in a case like this, where there are competing factions looking for the dollars, I don't think it would work too well either. I thought the letter was an excellent letter. And I thought the strategy behind the letter was a good strategy, because I had forgotten about that $400,000. And I think that's not well into the conscience of many of those SLOCOG board members. And maybe Mr. DeCarli, too. I don't know. I was upset with the staff, DeCarli, and with Harry Ovid, and with others who wanted to be sure that we were held accountable. You know, it's not punishment, it's accountability. Baloney. I think it would be helpful if their staff, especially DeCarli, knew what we had in the back of our mind. But I'm not sure it would swing things with the board when voting time comes. I heard good ideas from all four of you just now, so good luck.
Thank you. Dante.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. I, too, tend to agree with the things that I've heard here, but probably a little stronger. I don't think there's any question that the last design that was submitted by Slocog and Caltrans was anywhere near what they presented to us the first time we started this project. The problem was is that we had a moving target. Every time we would have a meeting, what
I would like to speak to this item.
Madam Mayor, Council, John Stowell, Pismo Beach. I agree with the previous two speakers and also with you. But I think something has to be done with the Tribune, and something has to be done with a newsletter to stop this political ramifications that is making this city look terrible. Slocog started all this, you know, along with Caltrans. And it's a 10-year ongoing thing. All they're talking about in Slocog today is what happened about the last 6 months. And I think something that should be done, as far as you as a council, to let people know about this $400,000 that we paid to get into the outlets, and they didn't put that in. You know, and I agree with Don Day. Let's go send them a bill for that. Maybe that'll get their attention, you know. But I think somebody has to say what has transpired in the 10 years since the start of the project until today, and right or wrong, send them a letter, but somebody has to give the whole scenario exactly what happened and get it out in the public, either through the Tribune or through the newsletter. Now, Art Anthony put a very good letter to the editor about what transpired during his whole process in the Tribune, and they printed his, Bill. They didn't print yours, but right. They printed his. And right. I think that if we can get Art to write something, maybe they'll print it.
Maybe they will. Tribune won't print my stuff, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Is there any other comments from the council?
I have one.
Okay.
Well, I'm kind of going along what Council Member Rabinow was saying about talking to Rhonda Carley. How big is this board? I've never
15.
12, 15, something like that.
So what would happen if we called, called each board member and telling them that they're going to get a letter, a follow-up letter explaining everything, so that if there's questions and bad feelings, that might be a way to explain or diffuse, and then they also get the letter. Would that?
Well, the reason I would disagree with that is I have every intention of being at that Slocog board meeting on November 2nd, is it? On November 2nd.
November 2nd, 8:30.
In the audience. And under public comment, I'm going to tell them just exactly what this project's all about and why it's the way that it is. And I was requested to do that by Frank Meacham personally.
Mm-hmm. He requested I as well.
And Marlene as well. So I'm going to be there at that meeting. And I think we just ought to leave this letter alone. They've got that information. Any conversation we can have with Rhonda Carley and those types of things are great. But, you know, where the rubber hits the road is going to be at that meeting. And I think that people need to understand that we could not support a bad project. And that was the final project that was delivered to us for a vote. It's pretty cut and dry in my estimation. So I'd like to make a... Oh, no.
I have something else, too. Madam Mayor, I believe that this is an excellently composed letter, and I would like to see it sent. However, two of the board members requested that I come to the meeting, and now I'm requesting that some of the speakers come to the meeting. Don Day and Mr. Art Anthony and John Stidwell, what they had to say was great, and I think the board needs to know it.
I don't think that's a problem. They do ask for public comment to the items that are on the agenda. Now, how the board will react to certain speakers, I couldn't tell you. But I think the point of this letter is to reiterate some of the facts that were in the staff report. That staff report was this thick. Some of this got lost in it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think you got the reaction that you did. They didn't remember these facts that were so important. And so I thought it was a good thing to send this letter out. Now it's up to the council whether they...
Well, I think that the letter is crafted very well. I mean, it's a very well-written letter. I have... That's not my point.
my point is that we're saying, you know, we did this to the tune of $400,000, and we don't think that you ought to be penalizing us. The two have nothing to do with each other. Number one, I think it would be great if we could get that $400,000 back, and if you all want to bring that forward and we do that at a future date, I think that's great. But that has nothing to do with this. What it has to do with this is they want to penalize us for not accepting a program that they have been working on for 10 years that they think should have been done, that was wrong for our community. That's the issue. The issue is not the $400,000. That's another issue. There's no nexus.
And I would have to agree, Madam Mayor, that it's now the $735,000.
Pismo Beach paying nothing, zero. That's the proposal on option three. And it relates it specifically to this $400,000. So I respectfully disagree. In fact, the nexus is very clear between the $400,000 and the original $1.3 million or something. You correct me, Mr. Delzide, if I'm wrong. The original amount that the council had passed by resolution to pay for this project was like $1.35 million, which was passed way back in the late 90s. That was reduced because in a subsequent resolution that was approved by the Council of Pismo Beach and the SOCOG Board, because of our contribution of $400,000 to these on-ramps and off-ramps down by the outlet stores. So there is a clear nexus, and the SOCOG staff even mentions that nexus in their recommended option. So this letter, all we're trying to do here, at least all I was trying to do, was to bring to the attention of those board members who I think did not read all of that agenda packet, to bring to their attention that, hey, Pismo Beach has already paid a lot of money, and we don't think we should pay anything more. And, oh, by the way, that's actually one of the recommended options that your staff has given you. And I thought that if all five of you, maybe I was naive, but if all five of you could actually unanimously agree that it might give some oomph, and we could send this in advance to the board so that they would have it several weeks before the actual meeting on the 2nd of November, and they would read it. Maybe they wouldn't read a packet this thick, but maybe they'd read this and say, oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know Pismo Beach had paid the $400,000 already. Well, okay, that makes sense. So that's all I was trying to do by this letter. Thank you.
Well, I think, Madam Mayor, that part of this was our opportunity to address all the negative reporting they've been doing, and we've been quiet, and they put the blame on the council, and this council have had so many meetings, and not to mention what our staff has put into it. Not to mention the time that our staff has put into it. It wasn't just their staff that put time into it. So Mr. Delzite worked with them so closely, and so I think putting blame was less than professional, and this was our opportunity to speak out about it.
But if I may respectfully disagree with Mr. Rice, in that I didn't get a copy of that SOCOG report. I don't know how they made a nexus to that $400,000. And the reason that I say that is that they are two completely different projects. And yes, they are. They're two completely different projects. And what we did on that one is done and gone. It's done and gone. Like I say, we could go into the future and try to get $400,000 back from them or whatever. That is not the issue. What's at issue is the $700,000+ that they want a pound of flesh out of Pismo Beach. And if they can't get a pound of flesh, they certainly want some large dollars to come out of it. And that is the reason that we need to be there, because remember, this is a policy decision. This has never happened to them before. They do not have a policy on how to deal with this.
No, they do not. And
that's right.
I agree with you. And this is part of the thing that they're struggling with. And I think that's what's going to come out of this, because they're foreseeing that this may happen again to another agency.
and so they want to know how to deal with it.
But they're not going to penalize us while they're trying to figure it out.
And you know, I'm not so sure that we're going to get penalized.
Well, we don't want to take that chance, though. We want to be sure.
I agree. So what is the council's desire on this letter?
Well, I would just assume that the letter not be sent. And if three of you want it to be sent, fine. I'll go along with you. But
okay. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a consensus that three of us would like it to be sent, so I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we send the letter.
I second it.
It's a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0.
Sometimes you got to pick your battles, and that was not my battle.
Okay.
Thank you, Council. We'll prepare the letter so all of you can sign it. Thank you.
Okay, we're past the time of the public hearing. When the Council has asked for a short break, we're going to make it very fast.
Okay.
Right? We're going to have 3 minutes enough? 3 minutes enough? 3 minute break.
That's in both ordinances. In the downtown core, you are allowed that reduction. It's in both. It's not a change or anything. That subsection referred you back to the inward in the fee section.
Okay.
So if you're in the downtown.
We're at item 5A. This is a public hearing.
You're complaining because Bill's giving me coffee, Shelly? He's been getting for him for 3 years.
He's starting trouble.
No.
He's teasing.
Mr. City Manager, please.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5A is a public hearing. It's the first reading of an ordinance amending regulations on non-conforming buildings and parking requirements. I'd like to ask our Director of Community Development, Mr. Randy Bloom, to give us the staff report. Randy?
Thank you. Tonight you have a public hearing amending our non-conforming use and structure portion of our zoning ordinance. And let me give a little bit of background and history. Pismo is a little unique in respect to its non-conforming portions of the zoning ordinance, in such as other cities in California that aren't closing out at build-out. We're at 80-85% build-out. Other cities that are isolated by themselves, their average lot sizes are 6,000 square feet and larger, and their value of land is less, and they're sitting by themselves and they can grow in incremental rings. Their attitude towards non-conforming structures is that over time they totally want to eliminate them. And that's a common theory and practice in those type cities. But in cities that are reaching build-out, or cities that have historic smaller lots, and cities that are more to the coast or in heavy metropolitan areas, they view their non-conforming use and structure ordinances as more of a managing tool. Their theory, and those cities' theories, is to slowly bring those buildings up to code as best they can over time, and that deterioration doesn't occur in the housing stock and in the commercial stock that's within the community. Our ordinance is more, and historically has been more, of a management ordinance instead of an elimination ordinance. And so some of the amendments that the Planning Commission and staff is proposing is more gearing towards a management tool to keep our commercial structures occupied, and a residential, particularly our smaller lot residential, to keep those in a healthy maintenance situation. To start as an overview, is in the commercial areas of the community, the ordinance is allowing for permit remodels up to 50% of the value of a building without requiring buildings nonconformities to be corrected. And it permits additions to buildings up to 50% of the floor area over a 5-year period. Now, this is an interesting thing as a management tool. Is a lot of people over the years have come in and said, I want to remodel my residence or my commercial building. And historically, we've never had a good management tool to say, okay, from a 5-year period, you can either do it incrementally or one time, but it's a management tool that you're guaranteed that if you, let's say, remodel a kitchen or a restroom in a commercial building 1 year, that you'll have future opportunities. In the past, it's been a little vague as to if a person had remodeled a small remodel 3 years ago, and they says, well, you're done, you can't do anything with your building. This gives a guaranteed investment path for the property owner, and it allows staff to have a tool to say, okay, in the back history, look up the building permit history, and you've done this and this and this. In this 5-year block, you can only do that amount, and this is what's left that you can do. The second part is of this ordinance is that the relationship of parking to Shell Beach. Basically, the Planning Commission and staff had reviewed several options, and number one is that our goal is to make the 83 ordinance identical to the 98 ordinance. The 98 ordinance is better formatted, so it's easier to read, but the goal is to make both identical. So if you're in the 83, if you're in the coastal zone, or if you're in the outside the coastal zone, the same rules apply. And so this amendment is a little confusing because it amends the 83 and amends the 98, but it makes them the same. One key thing of the ordinance is that it reflects in the downtown area, in the 83 ordinance, on buildings smaller than on lots smaller than 4,000 square feet, you're allowed to pay parking in lieu fees up to 30%. The existing 98 ordinance that identifies in the downtown area allows you up to 100%. And so what this code is, what it's doing is it's making it identical to the 83. Now, the thing that the change in the part of the ordinance of both of them is that for amendments, for additions in the downtown core and on lots smaller than 4,000 square feet, it raises, for lots over 4,000 square feet, it raises the 30% fee up to 75%. And so that allows for a little bit more flexibility. The ordinance amendment also took a look at Shell Beach. And the reasoning is behind the amendment is that Shell Beach is unique in itself as the downtown is unique in itself. Right now, a person that wanted to remodel in the downtown area that has a non-conforming building has a remedy through paying in lieu fees. Right now in Shell Beach, if you have the identical type building, but you're in on Shell Beach Road, and you got to remember Shell Beach Road, the commercial district is only one lot depth along that whole strip. They're not large lots, and they're not readily assemblable because there's no depth to them. And so right now, if a person in Shell Beach wants to add on, for reasons of maybe they're trying to retrofit their building for handicap accessibles and add restrooms, they have no option. They have to either provide the parking on site, or they've got to go through the process through the Planning Commission to apply for a variance. And sometimes, in certain cases, it's very hard to make the state-required findings to grant a variance. So the ordinance has been amended to allow the businesses, the commercial businesses and property owners in Shell Beach, the opportunity to pay parking in lieu fee should they want to expand their non-conforming building. And most of the buildings do not provide the full parking because they were built years ago, and at that time there wasn't modern-day codes, and so they were built to the standard of that day. The thing that Shell Beach has that the downtown doesn't have is Shell Beach is a single-loaded street. The commercial business is on one side, and the other side of the street is the freeway with adjacent parking along that whole Caltrans right-of-way. Over several years, there's been many thoughts and designs of how to improve the streetscape of Shell Beach. And there was been drawings made of angle parking against the freeway. By creating an in-lieu district, that fees paid in Shell Beach be spent in Shell Beach only, and fees paid in the downtown be paid in the downtown, creates a revenue stream, but also creates the beginning steps of improving the streetscape along Shell Beach. So the commission and staff believe that the opportunity to pay in lieu fees to help the commercial buildings modernize was a benefit to the community. Because, for example, if there was a business that for some reason was approached and had to provide, let's say, handicap accessibility, and they didn't have the ability within the existing structure, and they had to add on, and they couldn't provide parking, they'd have to go through a grueling process of the variance process. This would make it a much easier process and probably a better equitable process for them to upgrade their businesses and their buildings. The last part of it relating to Shell Beach is the Planning Commission's discussed the opportunity that if an existing building was to be added onto, because there already is additional parking across the street, different than other parts of the town, that they could be granted a 50% reduction on their increase. And the commission believed that there was ample parking in the Shell Beach area. It just needs to be reorganized and the streetscape improved. And so that's part of the ordinance. But in clarifying that 50%, it's only on additions to non-conforming, and so and not with a brand new project coming in. So what needs to be clarified from if the council would adopt the first reading of the ordinance, with the second reading of the ordinance, there'd be better clarification that the 50% reduction would apply to expansions of non-conforming structures. That kind of gives you an overview of the amendment. Another part of it to provide some clarification is that the residential part of the component is that most of our non-conforming residential structures lie in Shell Beach. And the reason is because of the lot sizes and the historic development of Shell Beach. Same 50% rule applies. However, in the ordinance, it mentions, in the staff report, it mentions that staff will be developing a criteria of how to better calculate what it means for 50%. We've gone through areas where it's 50% of the square footage. We've gone through areas that is 50% of the building code valuation. And we've gone through areas of it's 50% of the market rate valuation. Staff would like to develop a component, more of a component part, where each component of part of a house, the roof, interior walls, windows, carry a weighted figure, and you add those weighted figures up to the components that you're going to change, and it would be a more methodical way to approach it, and it would be in writing and where a person could analyze a potential remodel and go through the formula and calculate it themselves. That's kind of in a nutshell. What we're trying to do is create a management tool and provide some business opportunity for the Shell Beach business parcels that give it more of an equal weight to the downtown area. That's kind of an overview of the ordinance, and if there's any questions, I can be happy to answer them.
Okay, before I go to the public, does the council have any questions or comments at this point?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, I'm in a good mood. There's just an odd thing that we got all these things that I disagree with on tonight's agenda. And I don't agree with any of the point systems or the things you're trying to develop for the windows and all that. That makes perfect sense. But you had to anticipate that I'd have some feelings about in lieu. And, you know, what you're proposing there to me is probably very adequate for today. But I can't think about today. My mind goes 20 years out. Now, let's say, as an example, that this wonderful German restaurant who's doing all of this for the Shell Beach Elementary School had some freezers outside, and the health department wanted them to enclose them. We've got a very similar thing with that, of course, downtown Pismo Beach with Splash Cafe. Since this is a restaurant, and you're redoing the amount of parking that's required, not on square feet anymore, but usage and that kind of stuff, does that only apply in the restaurant trade, or will that apply in other instances as well?
We're focusing on two areas we're developing. We're focusing on restaurants right now, but we're also focusing, and we've had discussions with the Planning Commission, And we're generating our staff report right now to go to Planning Commission. We're targeting the first meeting in November. We're targeting one issue in residential, and we're targeting the restaurant issue, because that was one of the council said that was a very high priority. We're looking at a customized approach that the parking requirement is based on the seating capacity of the restaurant.
Right, exactly. Okay.
The second component we're looking at is in the smaller lots in Shell Beach, the opportunity to have a two-car tandem garage. What means is one stall behind another stall to help the streetscape. So when you go down the street on smaller lots, you don't just have a two-car garage and then you have to walk around the two-car garage to go in the side of the house for the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And those two components we're working on to okay. come forward.
All right. Well,
it does two things. It helps the business community, but it also helps the structures in Shell Beach. We have a lot of homes in Shell Beach that have a single-car garage that are viable pieces of property that, if they were forced to completely comply to everything, they would have to tear down three-fourths of the house.
Right. I don't have a problem.
So those are the two.
Right. My issue still comes back to in lieu fees. And if this restaurant had to, in fact, enclose that in, mm-hmm. see, these are very special cases. It's like Splash Cafe. I mean, what you're looking to propose for the whole Shell Beach Road and the whole business district mm-hmm. down there, by allowing them to do 100% in lieu, as an example?
On a small addition, yeah.
Okay, on a yeah. small addition yeah. or something. But as Shell Beach becomes used more by the visiting public and those types of things, as many of us are trying to make happen, what I'm afraid of is that these people are now going to be parking down these Bokers and these Moros and these all of these other streets that are out there. And in the beginning, they'll just start parking close to Shell Beach Road. And then 15 years from now, they may be parking halfway down Shell Beach Road. We have tremendous parking problems over in the Shell Beach corridor, and now some of the visitors have found our wonderful little vistas that are down there, and there's motorhomes parked down there blocking the views of all the residents and these types of things. And I am not in favor of in lieu, period. And certainly not for new construction, but we're not talking about
right.
new construction. We're just talking about these add-ons.
Yes.
But they would have an impact as well. And, you know, why we would not require, I mean, we're only 3 miles wide and 7 miles long, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
We are so impacted with cars. Why would we be giving any leverage at all on parking places? I think that's fundamentally wrong. These people should be, if they want to expand, the city's not asking them to expand. Now, maybe this handicapped issue that you gave an example on, again, that's a different story. That's like the health department saying, coming in and put a cover. Okay, you want me to hurry up, and I am. But there are those kinds of things that I think do need special attention. But not overall. Does our $36,000 in lieu fee right now cover Shell Beach citywide, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No. Well, if this ordinance was approved and put into place, the resolution for the in lieu fee would apply.
Would apply.
Yeah. Right now, the only area you can pay in lieu fees is in the primary downtown area that starts at the split with Price and Dolliver.
Okay.
Goes over to the creek, goes down to the ocean, and goes to 101. That's the only
okay.
core area in town that you can pay an in-lieu fee.
Okay.
This was one approach to try to help the businesses expand moderately. It wasn't a solvable.
Have you got a request solution that you're basing this on? Somebody's come forward and you said, well, maybe we can solve it this way? Or is your thinking that as Shell Beach Road develops that would happen? Is there something in the pipeline that this would apply to?
No, we don't have okay. a new development in the pipeline right now. We've struggled with working on handicap access and bathroom spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we looked at Shell Beach Road itself,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably 90% built out
mm-hmm.
and very little space that it can expand to. Mm-hmm. But we were looking for a tool to help the individual businesses and the commercial buildings stay a viable, to keep that image of Shell Beach. When there's no flexibility, it gets to the point that a business needs to expand and may move out, and then if there's no opportunity to improve it, then over time it slowly deteriorates, and then it'll be torn down, and there may be a complete new modern building, which a lot of people say that's good, and a lot of people say we want to retain mm-hmm. some of that atmosphere, and this is an approach to help retain some of that.
That's all I have, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
It's a management tool.
Any other questions or comments from the council before I go to the public? Okay, I will open this to the public. I'll open up the public hearing, and I have two cards, one from Don Day.
I guess I spread that report over.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. A couple questions. The parking in lieu, is it for commercial only or does it include residential? I don't see the language in the ordinance.
May I answer that?
Please.
It's for commercial only.
Can you show me where it says that in the ordinance?
Where I was alluding to is that we were going to do some clarification on the...
So that'll be clarified.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You refer to 5 years in a number of places, 5-year incremental increases, growth. Can you do all 5 years worth of work in 1 year and then do nothing for the next four?
That's correct.
Does it start over at the end of the fifth year, the beginning of the sixth year, and you have another 5-year incremental portion?
That's correct.
Will that be clarified in the language? It doesn't say that you can, that after the fifth year that it starts, and it doesn't say that that you could do all 5 years in 1 year and then do nothing for the next four.
Good point.
Since we're going to the coastal to make these changes, if we in fact do accept them, could we not clarify the 35 feet and go back up to 42? Try that.
Pardon me?
He's right.
Excuse me?
We have two ordinances. One's in 83, one's in 98. The Coastal Commission, in its infinite wisdom, reduced our 42 downtown to 35 feet. And I'm just suggesting that since we're going to be before them with both documents, that perhaps we should ask them to amend it back to 42.
I think that's a policy decision.
May I answer that?
Yes, you may.
This is an ordinance amendment. To go back to the 42 feet would require a general plan amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
And a complete certification of our general plan.
Okay. So we'd have to go back and recertify the general plan.
Could that someone put a note down that might be food for thought for the future?
I understood that perfectly.
Page 76, special areas downtown in Shell Beach. When parking is required for a new building or in addition to an existing building, up to 75% in lieu. Down at the bottom, the last paragraph, it says in the 98 code, the current ordinance allows 100% of the parking requirement for any commercial development downtown to be provided in lieu. The last sentence reads, the amendment would change the 50% to 75% and retain the 100. It seems to me that you've already got 100. Why do you need 75? Or am I misreading this?
There must be some.
That must have been somebody else's timer.
There must be an area that
That's page 76, Randy.
Yeah. There must be an area that now calls out 50% and you're changing it to 75. Is that it?
Let me clarify. On parcels less than 4,000 square feet, the 98 code allows you to pay up to 100% in lieu fees. On parcels greater than 4,000 square feet, it's changed to 75%. It changes up to 75% for parcels above 4,000 square feet.
From 50 to 75?
Yes. Mm-hmm. On parcels less than 4,000 square feet, the current 98 code allows you to go up to 100%.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. In the downtown core area.
Does that make sense, Don?
I heard what he said. I'd have to go back and read the other section.
If you go to page 128, it's in red.
So lots that are larger than 4,000 square feet are going from 50% to 75%.
Yes.
Lots that are less than 4,000 square feet are going to be 100%. Correct?
Yes, and that's what was in the 98 code. And so the 83 code's being changed to meet the 98 code.
Page 124, item B, nonconforming commercial structures, changes to structure. It talks about reconstruction. It talks about 60% under B1B. If you go to page 126, destroyed structures. I believe you would reconstruct a destroyed structure. It says 50%. Is that a different reconstruction?
Where are you in 126? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Page 126E, destroyed structures. E1 talks about non-residential structures. And it says 50% of the value. In one case it's 60, in the other case it's 50. And under B1, on page 124, reconstruction, it talks about changes to the structure, the enlargement, extension, reconstruction, or structural alteration of the nonconforming commercial structure may be allowed with a conditional use permit. Reconstruction would be what you do if you have a total failure, mm-hmm. and a destroyed structure. Unless there's something that I'm missing, it seems to me there's a 10% discrepancy.
Is there? May I ask something? Is there a difference because it's saying it was destroyed, and the other one doesn't specify that by fire or such?
I can answer that. The 50% when you have a fire and it's destroyed, we have an appraisal made. We determine on appraisal value. And when you want to do a remodel over a five-year period, we have an evaluation. There's no reason why the 50% in the E-1 can't go to 60%, because we're trying to make it the same.
Okay.
And then one thing that I really have a concern about on 126, E1B, shall occur within 1 year after the date of the damage / destruction. There's no physical possible way in this community to have damage, get approval through the various boards, get your plans drawn, go to SCAL and have the plans checked, and start construction and have it ready for use in a year. Unless it's a doghouse of small significance and it just won't happen. There's no physical way. S-scale takes 3 months. So I'm pointing out. I'm not trying to be dogmatic, but it would be almost impossible to get that done because it says and reuse.
6 months. Okay.
The item B1B says shall occur within 1 year after date of damage. And,
What page, Mr. Blum?
That's page 126.
Okay.
A third down.
Oh, okay. Right here.
B.
Oh, B. Okay.
So 1 year after the date. You're saying there's no possibility to get through in a year through our processes.
No, and I'm not criticizing the process. It's just a fact.
Stating a fact.
I mean, it just takes time. It has to go to planning. It has to go to building. It may have to go to council. It then has to have the plans drawn, the engineering done. Sometimes it takes us a month or two just to get an engineer on board to review stuff. I just don't think it's physically possible from a practical standpoint.
Okay.
I wish it was. Mm-hmm. But start to finish. And that says reconstruct and reuse. That means that the contractor in the field, whomever, has to also have it built and ready to be open.
So what is illogical?
Why don't we just have it approved or something to that effect?
Were you asking what is a logical timeline?
And
yeah, what's a logical timeline?
And this needs to come back for a second reading anyway, so let's...
Well, I
don't think it should be tied to the use or to the completion, because the UBC talks to those issues. I think it's just to the approval of it. I'm not even sure why we need it, but...
Why do you have a year in there?
To keep the schedule aggressive. But we can look at entitlement, and that relates to the planning approval. What the whole point is of this is that if a building is destroyed by fire and it's sitting there, and it just sits and sits and sits and sits, and then someone 10 years later says, okay, I want to rebuild the existing building, is that there needs to be some kind of sunset clause.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, it's important to have an aggressive schedule. So if you do have a building down in a core area or a heavily used area, that it's important to get it back up and into functioning. Otherwise, you'll have a blight there for quite a while. But we can look at, as far as do a couple scenarios as to entitlements and the removal clause.
Okay.
Page 124, B1D, the enlargement of the structure will not accommodate the expansion and enlargement of a nonconforming use of land. How would that relate to parking if you enlarge it? I don't know how you could make any enlargement and not require some parking. Would it then not be a nonconformance and that would prohibit it? I mean, I don't know that you can even do this. How would you do an enlargement without an expansion of the nonconformance?
Can you repeat which section that is, Don?
It's page 124, B1D.
D?
Oh,
D, like Don.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you don't understand what it has to do with parking?
No. My question is specifically to parking, is how could you do that and not enlarge the nonconformance by requiring parking? Parking is one of the nonconformances of the land, is it not?
Yes.
Do you have a comment to that, Mr. Bloom?
I was trying to think of an example.
Again, it's food for thought. It's something that Randy can handle, I'm sure.
Okay.
Well, something I have a question on.
We'll ask Mr. Bloom to give us maybe an email on that or something.
That's correct.
Thank you. Don, I'm allowing you plenty of time because we're just at the first reading on this, and I think we need to know the answer to these questions.
I agree.
This might be a bit of a stretch. I read it, and I'm not sure that...
What page, Mr. Day?
Again, it's page 124B, 3, maintenance and repair. And it goes down to, unless the commission allows more extensive work through conditional use permit approval, after finding that the additional work will not prolong the duration of the nonconforming use or structure. But if you go up above where it's talking about a conditional use permit, under B1, none of those items talk about the prohibition about prolonging the duration of the nonconforming use. So it looks like if one follows the 60% rule for 5 years, then you can prolong the duration. But if you exceed the 60%, then you would have to, I guess you go before the planning, the commission, and get a conditional use permit, Randy, because you're going to extend it. Is that just so that the city would have some say so?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so you're satisfied with that answer? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I have Greg Regali. Is it Regali or Regali?
Regali.
Okay.
Greg Regali, 209 Montecito, Shell Beach. Just a couple of points that I wanted to make, and I have talked with Mr. Bloom in the past and members of the Planning Commission. And living in Shell Beach, I know that there's many, many of my neighbors that have contemplated additions to existing homes. I've talked with Councilman Ravenal before. I have a home that's not real old. When you talk about homes, it's probably about 40 years old. We've done extensive work to it. When we moved there, I considered it to be an eyesore. And I think Mr. Ravenal is aware of where my home is, and I think we've done a pretty good job of making it something that the community can be proud of. We find a need to enlarge our home, and with Shell Beach, there's issues like the issue of you can only add 50%, and I guess this is citywide, 50% of the existing house. Without having to bring the non-conforming part to conform with current building codes. We were in hopes that that might be increased a little because some of the houses, like my own, are very, very small. And a 50% addition is really not much. The other thing is there's no consideration given for lot size. And as we're all aware, there's predominantly two different lot sizes in Shell Beach. And so basically someone on one of the streets with the smaller lots can have a 1,000-square-foot home and he can add 500 square feet. And someone like me that's spent the extra money to buy a home on one of the larger lots can have a 1,000-square-foot home and he can add 500 square feet. There's likewise no consideration currently given for when you talk about non-conforming. There's a house next door to me that's built within a foot of the property line. That's certainly non-conforming. It's something that will probably, in my lifetime, not change, but oh well. There are homes that are non-conforming, such as mine, where we're within a foot of the side setbacks that are required now. I think that some of these special issues need to be looked at when determining what a person can do with their existing home. The other issue is our first go around at trying to decide what we're going to do with our home. We were aware of the fact that if you added more than 50%, you'd have to bring it to conforming, and that was fine. We intend to redo the plumbing and the electrical and a number of other things anyway. The issue that I had was I was told that I have to have a two-car garage, and I don't have an issue with that. And my response to that was, well, gee whiz, I'll do a tandem garage. And I was told, well, no, we don't accept those in the city of Pismo because they're considered to be inconvenient and people won't put their cars in it. Well, number one, if we're going to try to require people to put their car in their garage, we should be writing an ordinance that says you have to put your car in your garage. And if it's inconvenient, the inconvenience is on the homeowner, which I don't think there's any way to legislate that people are going to park in a garage. In addition to that, Shell Beach being what it is, if I were to put a two-car garage on the front of my house, not to mention that I'd be destroying a kitchen that we remodeled a few years ago, I would have a two-car garage for a house. It would probably be pretty ugly. The tandem garage issue is something that I've talked about off and on for all the time that I've lived here, which has been 15 years, and it's really time that some special consideration is given to the special needs of the residents in Shell Beach to be able to economically improve their properties, increase the size. We're starting to feel like we're a little dwarf house buried between two-story buildings, and we want to upgrade and we want to do a nice job, and we've had just been unable to find a way to do that economically. And I'm very much opposed to taking a house that's approximately 40 years old that is still got a lot of life in it and bulldoze it just because there seems to be a problem with tandem garages. So I know that Mr. Bloom is aware of this, and he's discussed the fact that it's these types of issues that need to be looked at, and especially with regard to lot size. There has to be some kind of consideration given for lot size rather than just you can add 50%. It just doesn't necessarily treat everyone fairly, and it becomes almost punitive in nature when you're told that that's all you can do with your existing home. With that, that concludes my comments, and
do you feel this ordinance will help you then?
The ordinance, the way it's written right now, doesn't really change much for as far as additions to residential structures in Shell Beach. It's been at 50% if it's non-conforming. It's still 50% if it's non-conforming. The issue of the tandem garage hasn't been addressed, or at least not in this ordinance. If we're going to make changes, I think maybe we should really take a long, hard look at what changes we need to make this ordinance reasonable and workable in an economic fashion and still come up with what the city's looking for, which is to have homes that we can all be proud of. And this ordinance right now doesn't really change anything for the residential structures in Shell Beach.
Okay, thank you. Would you have a comment on that? I thought it did to some extent.
Mr. Rigali's issue is the classic Shell Beach issue where the house is built with a single car garage, and the placement of where that existing garage is hampers the ability to add another space side by side. His house is a nice house, except that limiting factor limits him on the expansion of his existing house. That's why I mentioned earlier that through the parking ordinance, we plan to address and propose a tandem issue that would solve a majority of that identical issue. The existing ordinance, for example, if you have an existing house that has a single car garage and you want to add on more than 50%, if in the future there was an ordinance there that allowed for a two-stall tandem garage, and for example one side of his house was at 4 feet and he required 5 feet, the new addition, as we do now, moves over to the 5 foot, and he wouldn't be saddled with the second, with the non-conforming ordinance, because he would have provided the code requirement that is the biggest stumbling block is that extra parking stall.
So he could do it with a tandem.
It takes a double approach to solve that.
But that's not incorporated in this draft.
It's not totally incorporated. It's only a portion of the deal. But his issue is typical of a lot of houses in Shell Beach. His issue is not unusual or anything like that. We deal with that. You can drive down the streets and see that.
So that's not something we could incorporate into this, is it? No,
it's going to be coming through the Planning Commission. We're targeting the first meeting in November, and then it'll be immediately coming to the City Council.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The other comment I'd like to make is that all of us are concerned with off-street parking in Shell Beach, because none of us want to see it. You know, I mean, some of the streets now, they're just lined with cars. And, you know, that's really not something that any of us want to see. But with the type of plan that I'm proposing, if I were to do a two-car garage in the backyard, if I do it at the end of the existing driveway, like many garages that have been required there in the backyard, you can only put one car in it anyway, because you can't access it because it's blocked by the front building.
Gotcha.
The other issue is if I put it in the other corner of the backyard, I have no place left to add anything on. So the only logical way it can be done is with a tandem garage.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? I have no other cards. Please.
Dave Jewell, 257 Esparto. I wish I had Mr. Regali's problem. I have a 2,700 square foot lot. I'm building a new house, and I have a two-car garage. It would be nice if lots the size of 2,700, really 3,000 square feet smaller, did only have to have single-car garages. However, I would ask the council to support Randy Bloom on this. I think this amendment to the ordinance is a good step forward. We have a lot of vacancies on Shell Beach Road, a lot of properties for sale. I think this ordinance does go a long ways to help Shell Beach and hopefully bring Shell Beach along to develop further. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? This is a public hearing. This is your opportunity to speak to this. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and come back to the council. Is there any other comments from staff before I come back to the council?
The only comment I have is a general comment is a first reading of the ordinance is basically a proposed draft to the council.
Gotcha.
And so what I've done tonight is take into account all those comments and everything, and we will relook at those, and if the council is comfortable with the ordinance with some clarifications, I'd entertain that the council do the first reading of the ordinance, and we make the refinements, and when it comes back as a second reading, the council would have another chance to review those clarifications.
Madam Mayor, if I can jump in, we can't really make substantial changes between the first and second reading if they're going to be substantive changes. You do have the opportunity at this point to do a first reading and incorporate those changes and then have them come back. But the first and second reading, you need to have some fairly significant correlation between the two readings. Typically, you can change minor typographical errors and so on, but you don't want to be doing wholesale changes right before the second reading on it.
Okay, so you're saying we can incorporate these clarifications and have first reading tonight, or if we're going to have further clarifications, we'll have to have a first reading again?
Correct.
Okay, I think that's understood. Okay. Yes.
Randy, the gentleman spoke about lot size.
That's correct.
Can we address, is that clearly addressed, or can there be modifications? Because I think that brings up a really good point.
As far as the in-lieu fee in relating to?
No. Well, the 50%. You know, when he was using the example, you have a certain lot size and you can go 50%. And then you have a bigger lot, and 50% doesn't really help a lot, and it seems, to use his word, punitive.
The existing language doesn't differentiate lot sizes. Now, the parking issue that the Planning Commission had worked on through a study session relating to tandem related to lot size, and that it wasn't an issue of larger lots that they were considering. It was mostly the smaller lots in Shell Beach. So if you wanted to create a hierarchy in this ordinance, we could do that. We'd have to come back with the first reading of the ordinance and a public hearing on that.
Well, I guess the question is, is this the place where we should do it, or do we wait for the other changes that the Planning Commission's coming back for? Because I think that's kind of what I talked to you about before, is that,
right,
that, you know, it's obvious that there are those lots that are really non-conforming that we're addressing, but then there's those lots that are bigger, and yet they get kind of they don't get the advantage.
I think the recommendation I'd make to you is that I need to show you graphically where those lots would be, and at a subsequent council meeting, and maybe make a recommendation. Because Shell Beach is broken up into like a series of different sizes, and I think you really need to have a discussion if you're going to create a hierarchy of 50% or 60% or 75% that you can improve. And I think you need to see graphically where those lots are clustered at.
I think that'd be important because when we spoke earlier today, you said one of the reasons for this ordinance is to assist in the expansion of business and help it continue and to help these homes improve and make it more friendly. And so it sounds like that might be something worth looking at.
If there's a consensus, do you want to wait for first reading then until we have
I think so. Else we would really have to make clarification. We'd have to go through it again and have one of the speakers come back up and go through the whole thing.
Well, we can do that.
So it might be easier for Mr. Bloom just to do that because he was taking notes. And then I had a question or two.
Okay. All right. So,
okay. I think most of all these little tags I have were addressed, but I wanted to be sure about the five-year that people understood that if you were remodeling in a five-year period and you were doing only 60% of it, that at the end of the 5 years, then you could do the 40%. And I don't think that was real clear.
I think to make it a little bit clearer is during a five-year sequence, the way the ordinance reads, you can't do over 50%.
Cannot.
But at the end of that 5 years, there's still continuing maintenance and desires of people, and you could start another five-year sequence.
And do another 50%.
Okay. And I just wanted to make sure that people understood that that's how this read.
It doesn't stop the world. I guess that's what I'm trying to clarify.
But you never can go over the 100%.
Right.
Or
well,
you can never go over the 50%.
For example,
am I saying that right?
You could remodel your house. you could remodel your house and get to the 50%. And then and all of a sudden you didn't do your roof with that remodel. You did an interior. You did, you know, you added on a bedroom and you added on a part of a garage or you added on a family room. And a few years later, after 5 years, all of a sudden you're going to need a roof. And maybe you need to replace part of the structural members of that roof because of dry rot and everything. This ordinance does allow you the continuing maintenance and upgrade of your house.
Okay.
It doesn't end the world at the end of 5 years.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, you had some more questions?
Let me see.
Well, while she's looking, if I could jump in.
Go right ahead.
I'm not prepared to support that tonight, but for multiple reasons. You know, parking is just a real issue. I don't know how it got there and started growing, but it did. It got in my brain, and it's just something that bothers me greatly. And I cannot support, and I don't know how the residents of Shell Beach, you know, would support 100% in lieu for some of these things that are going on down there. You know, granted, you know, you say that there's probably not that much that can go on, but, you know, unless it's a mandate by something else, handicapped, health department, you know, on those things, then I think that they should be forgiven parking places anyway because they're not bringing in additional employees. They're not seating more people. They're not. I think that there should be a special ordinance or a concession within there to allow that to happen. But as far as wanting to put a business and expand your business just because you want to do it to make more money, I don't believe that the residents of this community are responsible to take that burden on. And in lieu is it allowing all of this in lieu to take place puts that burden on the residents of our community, and I don't buy it. I don't buy it. So, I mean, with the council's permission, I'd like him to take a look at that stuff too, and dig more deeply into the parking and keeping these peoples off of the Bokers and all of these streets that are just impacted already with cars. And again, it's not for today.
I think I'm hearing what you're saying. You're saying that, okay, So where are we going to provide the parking where the in-lieu fees are going?
Yeah, I mean...
You know, give us the place. Sure. Show us the place.
Yeah. Show us the place or
where they're going to
or park. Mandate that they put in parking. Yeah. That's all that I've ever asked of anybody.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
On page 125, Mr. Bloom, mm-hmm. I just wanted you to clarify 4A. I mean, it's unreinforced masonry structures. If you could just clarify that, please.
We've got a handful of buildings left in town that are unreinforced masonry structures, and the reconstruction required to reinforce unreinforced shall be permitted without cost limitations, provided the retrofitting is limited exclusively to compliance with earthquake safety standards.
So it would be for the reconstruction would be strictly for earthquake safe or some type of safety.
Right. This clause is that if you have a building that has unreinforced masonry in it and you came in and you wanted to do a permit and your structural plans are greater than the valuation or calculation, this exempts that because the state law in the state and locally, we want our buildings to be brought up to earthquake standard, and that makes provisions for it. It allows the opportunity for the full flexibility to retrofit a building.
Okay.
Because in retrofitting a building, there's two ways right now. Is our current ordinance only identifies the parapet wall, the top above the roof that may fall off. But to retrofit a building for earthquake standards completely, you have to take it fully structurally through the whole component of the building. That means you may have to put some bearing steel in the building from the footing all the way to the top. If you choose to go that route, this ordinance allows you that flexibility without getting into the non-conforming issue. Because our goal is to get them all retrofitted from the foundation all the way to the top. Because over time, things will change and
do we have them on a schedule?
We have a schedule. A few years ago, we had engineering reports done on most of the buildings, and that's one of our work programs in this budget cycle to start working with those property owners. We have worked with a few of them.
It's important.
So that is on our is on our plate.
Okay. Now I think these others were answered. Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so we will postpone first reading until the next meeting. Would that give you enough time, or do you want to wait till the meeting after?
Well, there's nothing in the pipeline that's waiting on this anyway.
I realize
what I'd like to do is continue it to date uncertain.
Okay.
We can re-advertise. It'll give us a little.
That's good. Maybe we'll get more input.
My question to the council is, do you want us to research different business? The issue we have with Shell Beach is that right now a structure is locked with no options. And the in-lieu fee and the reduction...
Commercial or residential? Where are you now?
Commercial only. I'm only talking about commercial.
Okay.
The in-lieu fee and the reduction was a tool to create some flexibility so we can upgrade these buildings and improve them and yet still keep them. Do you want us to look at other options besides these two as to Councilman Ravenal's request?
What do you mean?
Having some kind of exemption process or instead of a variance process or I'm not sure.
I would agree more than one option because of the problem with parking in the community.
But the exemption, I think that's an important component. I think there need be an ordinance in effect that states if this or similar things have taken place that are out of control.
But that's why he's saying he was going to look at it and give us some options.
No, he was asking the question.
Well, I was asking, do you want me to look up other options?
Yes.
That was my question.
Okay.
Because we had We had proposed solving it by the in-lieu fee part and the reduction. Do you want us to come back and see if there's other options?
The same thing that you were going to come to Planning Commission with on November 2nd, you mean? Or whatever date it was?
We can include it there, or we can... It needs to be part of the non-conforming. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a building in Shale Beach that doesn't have any parking, but yet they need to do an adjustment to that building to either modernize it or to address handicap standards, we need to have a tool to continue the viable economics of that structure. Mm-hmm. And so, okay. We'll look at that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bloom.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we have, we're back at the business items. We've done 6A. We're at 6B, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B is approval of the draft drainage master plan for the city of Pismo Beach. And I'd like to ask Dennis Delzite, our city engineer, to give the staff report. Dennis?
The city staff is recommending approval of the downtown and Pismo Heights area drainage master plan. A copy of the master plan was provided to you on your dais earlier this evening. And this plan was prepared under a consultant contract, and it will provide the city with an effective tool to evaluate drainage projects for consideration in future capital improvement plans. I'd like to point out that field research for this plan was done during the rainy seasons, actually, so we could have the benefit of observing actual conditions in the field. And there are many photos of the rainy conditions appearing right in the master plan. We're happy to report that we don't have any extremely urgent needs pointed out in the report. We believe that actually in some other areas of Pismo Beach, we have attended to those needs, such as Ocean Park, where the council approved a budget appropriation, and we made some drainage improvements during the last budget cycle. Council is also aware that we have focused our attention to the corrugated metal pipes in the ocean outfalls that have been rusting out. They're at the end of their useful life, and they're rusting, and some of them are collapsing, and our focus has been on replacing those lines. And in fact, we had one project very successfully completed just last week before the rainy season. So the good news is we don't have any urgent needs pointed out in this master plan. However, we do now have a plan which identifies specific improvements that we can include as we look forward into our future budget years, and we're going to provide the council in the coming months with a 10-year capital improvement program for your consideration instead of a 5. We're going to be looking further ahead than we have in the past. Now, Greg Ray has provided up on the screen a location map showing the location of each of the improvements that are proposed. And the number that's next to it corresponds to the numbers in your report. So if you wanted to see location number 4, for example, that is identified in your report. What you'll see is a photograph. You'll see a statement of the problem. You'll see a cost estimate, and you'll also see a diagram which identifies what improvements would be needed at any of those locations on the in the report. The total estimated cost in today's dollars to do all of the projects is $1.7 million. But of course,
it really isn't bad.
It's not very much in comparison with what it could be. So anyway, we do now have a plan to guide us. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Mayor, I just have one quick one. You feel confident that this is complete for the areas that are described?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Okay, so this is nothing that we need a peer review on or anything like that?
No, it's really not that type of a critical analysis with anything that appears to be questionable in those cases where, in fact, it was prepared by an outside consultant, and frankly, we have the expertise in-house to do our own peer review, which we have done. We've checked it internally within our own organization, Greg Ray and myself, and so we feel confident in the recommendations that are made in the report.
With regard to the sites, is this the order of which you're going to be doing the work, or?
Well, they have been identified and coded on the report with circles, triangles, and rectangles to identify the priorities. In fact, if Greg could slide the over to the legend, we can. Greg, perhaps you can identify which are the. Which are the number one priorities? There we go. Zeros are the high priority projects, the triangles are medium, and the squares are low priority.
Okay. Do we have that legend?
No, we don't. Actually, Greg and I noticed that seems to have been left out in the printing that we just received on this, and it was probably an inadvertent omission, but... Mm-hmm. We'd like to get it added in, and we can provide it to you.
You will do that.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so do you need to... we probably talked about the public first. Let's see if the public wants to talk about it.
Is there any questions from the council?
Mm-mm.
Comments?
None.
Okay. Seeing none, is there any comment or questions from the public? Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the master drainage plan as presented.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay, the next item on our agenda is city manager's report.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor and Council, I have nothing to report tonight. Thank you.
Okay. City Attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing to report either.
Okay. Council Subcommittee reports. Do we have any?
I have none, Madam Mayor.
Okay. No? Okay. We have no Subcommittee reports. Okay. I think we're adjourned, and then we have a closed session that we will... be adjourning to, and that is a closed session. We're meeting with our negotiators as to SEIU and POA, and we're meeting with our representatives.
How are you doing?
Yesterday, sir.
Is there anyone that would like to speak to that item? Seeing none, we'll adjourn to that meeting.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. Okay. Fast.